Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Good to see you all here today. I'm surprised because all week I got notes from people that said they could not be here today. And I think there's about 10 families missing, so if they would have shown up, we'd have had to crowd in a little bit. So we're glad you're all here today. I went and saw Paul Sayre this week, and he's in good spirits, big smile. I don't think he had his teeth in. But he had this little bell. And I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "Not much around here." So I told him I'd bring him one of those big bells from church. So no, they're taking good care of him. He's in good spirits. Keep him in prayer. Vic Sherrick, Victor's here, and your son is still, he's going to maybe get on new chemotherapy, so pray that that works. We were all shocked last night when we got the call about Dolores Dillinger because she doesn't miss church. She was just always here. So her seat is empty today, but she's filling a seat on the other side. Russ, it's good to see you today. Russ just lost his wife too. Debbie, who you've seen sit with him Sunday after Sunday. And Jeannie. What a praise. The tumor is there, but it's dead. It's got no blood to it. And I believe God did that, don't you? Amen. Amen. I heard an old preacher say a long, long time ago that if we don't serve a God of miracles, we don't serve a God at all. And God's still in the miracle working business. We're just not in a position to see them very often. This message today could be deep, but I'm not a deep preacher. So we'll make it as simple as possible. And something that I learned, I don't know if any of you watched football yesterday or not, but most of the top teams put in their second team in the second half, played them. And as you watch the quarterbacks out there on the field, they're doing what they do. Sometimes they're not doing it well, and you'll see them come back at halftime and they do better. But there's something about sitting on the sidelines watching what's going on that you get to catch on a little more of what is actually happening on the field than if you're standing there. For 37 years, I've stood here and I've preached. Probably the hardest years I ever put in here were the last 2.5 years. Hard not just because I'd been going through some illnesses, but hard because of things didn't always work out the way we wanted to. Hard because of some criticism. And preacher, how could you make that choice or make this choice? Or, you know, do we think you'd make any good choices? Well, Michael, I hired you, and you've been here how many years? 10? Almost 11. He stuck around. Mary, I hired you 20 years ago. You're still here? My goodness. And Josh is doing such a great job with the youth. He's been here about 2 years already. My goodness, time flies. So we have a lot of good people. we have a lot of good employees here. I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, just listen, because I want to read just 9 verses out of Ezekiel chapter 47. Some of you have heard this before, some of you would be the very first time. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out of the way of the north gate and led me around to the other side of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out of the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. But he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles. And he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me, notice, same distance. He brought me to the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, again, the same distance. And he brought me through the waters, came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the waters was too deep. The water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, you have seen this." Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region. Go down into the valley and enter the sea." When it reached the sea, its waters were healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because the waters go there. There will be healed. Everything will live wherever the river goes. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you drive this point home to each one of us. Lord, I pray that you give us clarity and understanding. But Lord, most of all, I pray that your Holy Spirit grip our hearts and minds and our souls today. In Jesus' name, amen. Christianity is alive. Christianity is a movement, not a monument. Christianity is something that you are either moving in or you are dead. The river coming from the temple is God in His Holy Spirit. And it comes from the temple. It comes from God Himself. The Holy Spirit that works in the church today, that works in your life today, that saved you, is God Himself. The door is Jesus Christ. And if any man tries to enter any other way, he is a thief and a robber. And what God is showing us here is if we want to live and we want to move and we want to do what God wants us to do, we must start with God. We must enter through the door, who is Jesus Christ, in order to get into the Holy Spirit, into the river. That's where we have sacrifice. That's where we deny ourselves. That's where we die, is at the altar. And until we are completely dead, God can't completely use us. And I'm not talking about dead in the flesh. I'm talking about dead to the flesh and alive unto the Spirit of God, which is eternal, forever and ever and ever. I'm glad that as we walk through, we've had 3 or 4 deaths, and we have people that are going to die this year and next year. We don't know who the next one will be. But this we know, that only the body dies if the closer you get to the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God leading your life. The more you will know that, the more relaxed you'll be, the more confident you'll be, the more grace you will have, the more victory you will have over the world, the less you will be depressed, the less you will have anxiety attacks, the less you will have problems, because you know there is a higher power who is the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that will guide you and open doors that no man can open and no man can shut. The altar is where the old man dies. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says, "If any man comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's your cross. That's the one you die on at the altar. Jesus said, if you want the power that I have, if you want the strength that I have, you want the grace that I have, you want the victory that I have, you want the view that I have, you want the future that I have, the old man must die. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me." The river starts when you're saved at the altar. How deep we go depends on us, not the river. You did notice that it was 1,000 cubits every time he went out. But every time he went out, it got deeper. It was to his ankles, then to his knees, to his waist, and then so much that he couldn't even get beyond it. He loses footing. What he's saying here is, my feet guided me through the world. Even though I knew I was in Christ, I still had control. I was still hanging on. Remember the man that was up in the window when Paul was preaching and he fell out the window? Because the things of the world looked more important to him than the things that are going on in church. Man, I'd hate to fall out of church. I'd hate to fall out of church because something out there is more important to me than what was going on in God's house. Christian life is not automatic. You must choose to get up. You must choose to go on. And the deeper Ezekiel went in the river, the bigger the river got. I put up a post the other day on Facebook. It was looking down the river. And I don't know if you've ever stood on the Maumee River and looked at it. Some places it looks quite small. And you don't know till you get to the end how big that lake is out there. And sometimes this world just seems so small. Time goes so fast. Someone said, "I knew I'd get old, but I didn't know it would be this quick." I didn't either. At 72... Pastor Kay, when you were 72, you were an old man, I remember. Now you're like 87, 86, something like that. He's still an old guy. But I don't feel old to me. Matter of fact, I feel good. Oh, really? Yeah. You try sleeping 20 hours a day, you'll feel good too. The truth is, Christianity is not automatic. We have to choose to get up and get moving. We have to choose to go out of our comfort zone, out of our convenience, and out of our familiar things. We must choose to be aggressive and press and stretch ourselves. We must choose to dive into the Word and search the hidden treasures of God. We must choose to sacrifice ourselves from the world. We must choose to love the holy life. We must choose first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The church has lost that today, friend. They want all the blessings of God and all the grace of God, but they don't want to give up the world. Well, I'm sorry, but the Bible says if you love the world, you can't love God. I didn't say that. God said that. 37 years ago when I came here, I said, Lord, I got one person that I want to please, and that's just you. The people have to take what they get. And I've had one person audience ever since. You have to choose to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you. You must choose to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Someone said, Pastor, I'm such in a hard place right now. That's good. So am I. You know what that means? You're still alive. It means you're still in the fight. It means you're not dead yet. It means you haven't been conquered. It means there's still a possibility of healing, of strength, of deliverance. It means you're still messing with hell, and the devil don't like it, or you wouldn't be in a fight. So keep moving. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. They know you go to church. They know you say that you believe in God. Somebody is listening to the words that you speak, see whether they're righteous and holy, and see whether they're not. Someone is waiting for you to make it. Someone's waiting to watch you get across the river and see what you do when the river starts taking control of you and you no longer have control of yourself. They're waiting to watch you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They're waiting to watch you walk out of the fiery furnace. They're waiting to watch you step out of the pit. And all through the Bible, God has delivered people from every one of those things. Preacher, you think that God will heal you? I don't know. I know this. I probably don't deserve it. He's given me more than I could ever thank him for already. So whether he does or whether he doesn't, that's up to him. But I'll tell you this, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep moving because I don't want to be in ankle deep, because when I'm in ankle deep, well, I always, every time it gets a little deeper and I feel the current against me, I feel like I'm going to be swept away, so I want to get out, get back in the world. When you get beyond yourself, beyond the control that you have of yourself, the Holy Spirit actually grabs a hold of you and takes you, and you are flowing with the river, then the Holy Spirit has you. You've given it up. You've died. And it don't matter where that river takes you, because you trust him. I've been with many people when they died. I remember when God called me to preach, I didn't know that was part of it. I didn't realize funerals were part of it. Weddings were part of it. And being with people when they died was part of it. But I can tell you this, I have seen the peace that passes all understanding, because the person is not in control, God's in control. And Russ Siegel, I remember when his wife passed away and we were singing Amazing Grace, and she just stopped singing. What a peaceful transition she made. We come to a point in our life, in our Christian life, that point of transition. That point where we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is guiding us, but we know that if we stay, we're no longer going to have a foothold. We're no longer going to be in control. God's going to be in control. We know that if we stay, that we will totally surrender. It isn't just a commitment, just a little bit that we give to God, but He's going to take all of us and move all of us. And we're afraid. We're afraid because we don't know for sure where we're going to go. And we don't want to be crazy like the preacher. You know, we don't want to jump off the deep end and just think that the Bible is the Word of God and we got to follow every word of it. We don't want to miss going here and going there because we need to be in church because we've taken a job, and that is the most important job we have in our life, is what we do in the church. We know that if we lose our footing, we have to totally rely upon Him. What a great life it is. You know what the Bible says? Along this river are trees to eat of. There's everything along the river that you ever need in life. There's more along that river if you just give up and give in and let God and surrender than you'll ever find trying to hold on and make it yourself back here in knee deep or ankle deep. Up until this point, Ezekiel still had control. The river never did take Ezekiel. Ezekiel surrendered to the river. The river will never just take you. The Holy Spirit will never just take you. You must surrender to the river. You must surrender to the Holy Spirit of God in order to allow God to do that. As Jesus said as He was praying, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," should be our prayer. You don't have to worry about, I know people worry about, if they come to church regular, they're going to be like some of those other people in church. You know who you're going to be like? Jesus Christ, if you stay in, stick with it, and allow God to get a hold of you 100%. Ankle deep, saved yet carnal, saved yet critical, saved yet still selfish, saved but still have your dirty mouth, saved but still have bad habits and hang-ups, saved but still bouncing back and forth. In the water, yes. The old man is dying, yes. But he is fighting hard to get out of the water. Saved, but a lot of flesh still showing. Forgiven, yet still having problems forgiving others. The water's deep, it's dangerous. Something I've learned over 50 years of pastoring, people leave the church. Paul said, Demas is not with us. He loved the things of the world more than he loved the things of God. Could you picture walking away from Paul and his ministry? I just couldn't picture that. But they did. It's in 2 Timothy. In 1 John it says, if they were of us, they would be with us, but they are not with us because they were not of us. How do you become of us? Get your feet wet. How do you become of us? Go in knee deep. How do you become of us? Get into your chest. Then get in over your head where the Holy Spirit, where all you have to look forward to is the things that God wants you to do. That's total surrender. You say, well, if I do that, I'll be a minister. Yeah, you will. I know some ministers haven't got it yet. Still want it our way. But life is moving. Death is a monument. We went to Washington, D.C. not too long ago. A couple years now. My time flies, doesn't it? When you're laying in bed. And they had the Washington Monument. He's dead. They had the Lincoln Memorial. He's dead. They had a memorial to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He's dead. They had a Vietnam Wall with 50,000 names on it. They're all dead. They had a Korean War memorial to those who died. We cannot allow the church to become a memorial. It's a movement. That means that if you want to build this church, you need to live for Christ so that it attracts people to Jesus Christ. So when you go through the fiery furnace, they can see you did not burn. When you go through the sickness, they see that you did not fail or falter. When you go through a trial, they'll see that you walk out on the other side. That's what draws people to Christ. And until we start seeing victories through the power of the Holy Spirit instead of ourselves, the church will be dead. Because 75% of the people that come to church come because a friend invited them. This church is going to grow. They're going to need to hear, Jeannie, about something that happened to you. They're going to need to hear about the peace that passes all understanding when you're going through the fire. You can't keep that silent. We can say, oh, come to church. Why? Well, we have a good time. We have a ball team. We have this and we have this for the kids. When you go into the workplace and you say, you know what? I was sick and I was dying, but God healed me. He did? Where do you go to church? Oh, you want to go to church now? Yeah, because everybody's going through a trial. Everyone needs a God that will meet their needs. And our God is a God of miracles, and He will meet our needs if we allow Him to take us in over our head. But the step is yours. Will you trust Him or not trust Him? Dolores Dillinger is better off today than she was 2 days ago. Bobby Lesner, said over here, is better off today than she was a week ago. Heaven is real. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. They asked John Wesley, John, how do you know what you're preaching is truth? You know, he said, our people die well. What? How do you know what you're preaching is true? Because our people die well. They have the peace that passes all understanding because they're in over their head. The Holy Spirit has grasped a hold of them and give them that grace to move through life. So when you get sick, or you're going through a trial, or you're going through a trial at work, or you're going through something, remember when you're going through that, God has taken His spotlight and turned it and put it right on you. Because people are watching. And you can't fake it. You can't fake peace. People will read that like a book. You either have it or you don't. And it's yours if you're willing to take the step. But you've got to take the step. God will not sweep you off your feet. Let's stand. Ladies, we want you to make sure you sign up for the women's retreat. Doesn't matter your age. We want you there. Karen Hagen, who speaks all over the country, happens to be my daughter's, one of her best friends. I think they talk almost every day on the phone or texting. Her husband's a president of North Central University in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're just lucky we can get her to even come in. We're not the size of church that we normally have her. So make sure you're here. It's going to be a great time. God's just liable to show you what deep water looks like. I can still smell the rain. Our Heavenly Father, I don't know what you have for the church, but I know it's always good. Lord, I don't know what you have for your people, but I know it's good. And Lord, I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but Lord, whatever it is, we know that you are good. So Lord, I pray for the council meeting that follows this service. We thank you, Lord, for the good things we have to talk about. We thank you for the situations that we have to meet. That means we're still alive. So bless us now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30. At 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.